Tonight, breaking news. 4th of July fears as America marks the holiday in the middle of a pandemic. COVID cases shattering records. More than 11,000 in Florida just today. Miami beaches closed this weekend. Texas with more than 8,200 cases. A new high. Hospitals in the Rio Grande Valley diverting patients. Popular beaches in California off limits, but cautious crowds are at beaches in New Jersey, where masks are mandatory. And partygoers are back, crowding pool bars at Missouri's Lake of the Ozarks. Trump's risky celebrations. The president hosting a salute to America in the Capitol, despite warnings from the D.C. mayor that it's safer to stay home. It comes after flyovers and fireworks, but no social distancing at Mount Rushmore, where a member of the president's inner circle, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend, tested positive. The new lockdown, Spain, confining some 200,000 people to their region where COVID cases are surging. And the UK reopening pubs for the first time, but threatening to shut them down again if cases rise. Terrifying car ramming, the disturbing moment a vehicle slams into protesters on a closed stretch of highway. Two people hospitalized, both in critical condition. The driver is in custody, his motive unclear. Growing demand for justice for Elijah McClain after the release of selfies appearing to show police officers reenacting the neck hold used on McClain, who later died. And deadly shark attack. Paramedics arriving by helicopter in a desperate attempt to save a scuba diver at nearly the same scene of another deadly attack just 3 months ago.
From ABC News, this is ABC World News Tonight.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this 4th of July Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson, in for Tom Yamas tonight. And we begin with this American holiday celebrated in the shadow of the coronavirus pandemic and more people testing positive than ever before. Records shattered in recent days. The curve is not flattening. More than 2,786,000 confirmed cases in this country. And tonight, Florida reporting more than 11,000 cases in the past 24 hours. All beaches are closed in three South Florida counties, including Miami-Dade this weekend. Texas also reporting a record today, more than 8,000 cases in just a day. Some hospitals now at 100% capacity. Patients are being diverted. Hospitalizations in Arizona also continuing to rise. And after California's early success, an alarming surge there as well, forcing some of the most popular beaches to close during the holiday. But where the coast is open, people are there in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, doing their best to keep social distance. The same is true for the beach at Coney Island here in New York. And ABC's Trevor Ault is there.
Tonight, millions of Americans marking this unprecedented 4th of July as the pandemic ravages parts of the country.
I think it's great. Family, friends, get some fresh air with everything that's going on in our country.
Beaches in New Hampshire and New Jersey, even the lake shores of Indiana, packed with people.
On Minnesota's Lake Minnetonka, hundreds crowding together, forming an island of boats.
Partygoers filling up pool bars at Missouri's Lake of the Ozarks. The crowds already worrying health officials.
I know the 4th of July weekend, everybody wants to get together. I'm nervous that it's going to bring more positives as people congregate.
With cases increasing in 39 states, nationwide 80% of fireworks displays are canceled. In Florida, beaches that would usually draw hundreds of thousands now closed across the state.
And we have to follow these rules, but definitely here at the beach, with a young crowd, it's a good idea.
Florida logging 11,458 cases today alone, a new record high, and just 100 cases fewer than New York logged at its apex in April. While out west, most California beaches are closed.
We don't want to see you, a bunch of strangers, without being physically distanced.
And healthcare workers at some testing sites warn they're running out of supplies.
Today, we had to make a decision of who gets tested based on swab availability, which is unfortunate. We want to be able to test everyone that we can.
Today, President Trump railed on rising case totals and what he thinks is causing them, saying if we didn't test so much and so successfully, we would have very few cases. The daily nationwide death toll and the mortality rate have been on the decline, but deaths are rising in 14 states and hospitalizations are up in 27. Among them, Texas, where new cases hit a record high and Rio Grande Valley hospitals at capacity are diverting patients to other parts of the state. One North Texas family with seven family members infected, including their 88-year-old grandmother, Marie.
It's real. For the people who believe it's a fake news or a joke, it's really not a joke.
Austin's mayor now criticizing the governor for a hasty reopening plan and not ruling out a second shutdown.
Don't want to do it, but it's certainly an arrow in the quiver at this point.
In Arizona, as cases surge, Tucson doctor Matt Hines warns the state has never seen this level of demand for hospital beds.
We will get to a point where we have to start, you know, looking at those god-awful rules about who not to put into the ICU and such.
And in Oregon, after Governor Kate Brown made masks mandatory, four state troopers were caught on video refusing to wear them at a coffee shop. Instead of firing those troopers, the governor sat down with them, saying they took responsibility and that the officers and I agreed today that face coverings save lives.
That's the plea from officials. Trevor Ault joins us now from Coney Island, one of the many New York beaches open this 4th of July. And Trevor, we can see big crowds behind you there. But Trevor, I want to ask you about a nearby cluster of cases in Hoboken, New Jersey, that officials say could be linked to travel.
Well, that's right, Whit. Hoboken logged 13 new cases Thursday and Friday. It's a small but a noticeable jump because health officials say all 13 people recently traveled to areas with rising infection rates like Florida and Texas. Now, remember, New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut are all asking travelers who visit any of 16 hard-hit states to quarantine when they return. They're trying to prevent this from happening on a larger scale. Whit.
As people travel, the virus travels too. That's the concern from officials. Trevor, thank you. Meantime, President Trump is celebrating this 4th of July holiday big. First with fireworks and flyovers at Mount Rushmore last night, arranging military flyovers in cities along the East Coast, including this one in Boston. And tonight with a salute to America in Washington, D.C., all of it pushing the virus out of mind. ABC's Rachel Scott is there in the Capitol.
Tonight, with coronavirus cases on the rise, the president pushing forward with back-to-back 4th of July celebrations, kicking off tonight's Salute to America event with remarks at the White House. Spectators filing into the National Mall awaiting fireworks and flyovers.
So obviously, we wore our mask and we brought one with us.
I don't wear a mask. I am not even one iota concerned about getting the coronavirus.
Despite warnings from D.C.'s mayor to stay home.
We want to send a message to our residents to enjoy the 4th of July, to celebrate according to our guidance, and to do it at home.
The president just back from Mount Rushmore. He delivered a divisive speech, railing against the toppling of controversial monuments.
Our nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children.
Protesters gathering at the park gates. During this national reckoning on race, the president warned of a left-wing cultural revolution.
Their goal is not a better America. Their goal is to end America.
About 3,700 people crowded the amphitheater, sitting inches apart. No social distancing, few masks in sight. The president only briefly touched on the virus, which he has said repeatedly might just disappear. Tonight, news it is spreading in his inner circle. Kimberly Guilfoyle, Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend and top campaign fundraising official, testing positive for COVID-19 in South Dakota ahead of the event. In the statement, the campaign's fundraising committee said Guilfoyle, who is asymptomatic, was immediately isolated to limit any exposure, and as a precaution, will cancel all upcoming events. Adding Donald Trump Jr. was tested negative, but as a precaution, is also self-isolating, noting the couple did not travel on Air Force One or come into contact with the president. 2 weeks ago, Guilfoyle spoke at the president's rally in Tulsa, seen here without a mask. Several campaign staffers and members of the Secret Service testing positive there, too.
And when officials have 300,000 face coverings on hand to pass out to visitors, on a typical Independence Day, this area would normally be packed with people. But residents here in D.C. seem to be taking those warnings from health experts and the mayor of D.C. very seriously. Whit.
Rachel Scott in Washington, our thanks to you tonight. Next, overseas, in the new lockdown in Spain, one of Europe's hardest hit countries, now barring some 200,000 people from leaving the Catalonia region as cases there surge. ABC's Ian Pannell is in London, where officials are beginning to lift restrictions.
Tonight, Spain issuing a new lockdown, with COVID-19 surging in the north of the country. As many as 200,000 people in Catalonia are now barred from leaving the area, but the restrictions won't be as severe as before. Spain's been one of the worst affected countries in Europe. This as countries across the continent start to ease their lockdowns, allowing more visitors to travel there. But as cases continue to rise in the US, non-essential travel to the EU still banned. Five American tourists and their friends who tried to breach the ban by flying into Italy on a private jet were turned away by airport authorities. And today, England celebrated its own Independence Day of sorts as pubs reopened for the first time since lockdown began.
It's lovely to have a nice pint.
Case numbers have fallen in the UK, but in a warning of the dangers of easing restrictions like this, the city of Leicester has also reimposed a lockdown after a new outbreak there.
Although pubs will enforce social distancing, Prime Minister Boris Johnson's warning that if the numbers rise, he won't hesitate to put the brakes on and reimpose restrictions. Wits.
Ian Pannell in London, thank you. To Seattle now, where a driver is under arrest after slamming into protesters on a closed stretch of highway, seriously injuring two women. ABC's Zareen Shah with the details and the surveillance video. A warning, it is difficult to watch.
It's a horrifying moment, the white car plowing into protesters on a Seattle freeway.
A car ran over some people on the freeway, possibly.
The Jaguar striking two women, now both in critical condition in an ICU. Moments earlier, a protester live streaming this video for running for cover.
We have two hit, two down. Appears that somebody's attempting CPR.
The highway had been closed for demonstrations when the driver entered the freeway going the wrong way. Police arrested the 27-year-old Seattle man. The motive for the alleged crime, unknown.
Seattle, a city in chaos. That freeway closed for 19 straight nights for demonstrations. The police now saying they can no longer guarantee protesters' safety.
The city under siege since the killing of George Floyd.
Just days ago, riot police reclaiming a so-called autonomous zone taken over by protesters. Authorities had been blocked from the area for weeks. But after multiple shootings, officers cleared out the CHOP zone.
Protests against racial injustice taking place all across the country. Right here in Los Angeles, people protesting peacefully and safely off the streets. Police making it clear they have little tolerance for people taking to the freeways. Whit?
All right, Zareen, thank you. Protesters are gathering in Aurora, Colorado as well for the second night in a row, demanding justice for Elijah McClain. It comes after the release of selfies showing police officers appearing to reenact the type of neck hold used on McClain during a violent takedown last August. He died 3 days later. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, demonstrators in Colorado demanding justice for 23-year-old Elijah McClain.
Who's this for?
Elijah McClain!
Protesters facing off with police outside the station in Aurora. Outrage boiling over amid a new scandal rocking the department. Officers Erica Marrero and Kyle Dittrich both fired, and Officer Jaron Jones resigning over these selfies, smiling and simulating the chokehold used on McClain, taken 2 months after the massage therapist's death.
Well, it is a crime against humanity and decency.
McClain was walking home last August after buying iced tea at a convenience store when someone called 911 to report him as suspicious. Officers later putting him in a chokehold as he begged for his life.
I can't breathe.
McClain died days later at the hospital. Police say during the confrontation with officers, McClain tried to grab Officer Jason Rosenblatt's gun. Months later, when Rosenblatt received this picture in a text message, he replied, ha ha. He too was fired Friday.
None of the officers have been charged in McClain's death. Colorado's attorney general is now investigating. Whit.
All right, Stephanie Ramos, thank you. Next, the 4th of July scorcher for most of the country, a brush fire burning across 100 acres in California's San Bernardino Mountains. Mandatory evacuations in place for a time. All weekend, the heat index above 90 degrees, nearly coast to coast. Meteorologist Jeff Smith from our New York City station WABC is tracking it all. And Jeff, this weekend's heat is just the beginning.
Yeah, with this hot weather going to be continuing for the foreseeable future, and the hot weather also sparking some thunderstorms to be expected this time of the year. Severe weather threats over parts of the south and the high plains. And look at tomorrow's heat index values across much of the eastern half of the country in the 90s. In fact, for the next several days, from coast to coast, places like Denver, Chicago, Philly, heat indices well into the 90s. And as we head deeper into the week, not only will the heat stick around in some parts of the country, it will even intensify. Wet.
Well, brace for that, Jeff. Thank you. Next, the names of pro sports teams are under fresh scrutiny. Tonight, the Cleveland Indians. In a statement, the baseball team saying, "We are committed to engaging our community and appropriate stakeholders to determine the best path forward." Last year, the Indians stopped using the image of a Native American chief as their logo. And as professional sports slowly get back to business, a growing number of athletes and staff are testing positive for the coronavirus. They are also coming back to teams confronting issues of social justice. Now some players are having second thoughts. Here's ABC's Alex Preche.
Tonight, one of NASCAR's biggest stars testing positive for COVID-19. Legendary champion Jimmy Johnson learned he and his wife have the virus. He'll be forced to miss tomorrow's race in Indianapolis.
We're trying to be as healthy as we can, but you know, on the home front with our kids, we're heartbroken right now to see the fear in their eyes.
Johnson's diagnosis highlights an ongoing problem, how to restart sports while keeping athletes healthy. Major League Baseball teams just reported for spring training for a shortened season while announcing 31 players have tested positive for the virus. All-star Mike Trout not hiding his anxiety.
Honestly, still don't feel comfortable. You know, obviously with the baby coming, there's a lot of stuff going through my mind right now, my wife's mind, my family.
The NBA is also trying to return to action later this month. Several players now concerned about the pandemic.
I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, you know, it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position.
Others voicing concern over the social unrest and protests taking place across the country.
We're isolated in a bubble in the middle of a hot spot in the middle of Florida while there's social unrest going on in the country.
With at least 25 NBA players have tested positive for the virus so far. Still, Commissioner Adam Silver says he's pretty confident in the league's plan to safely resume. Whit.
Alex, thank you. And we also want to note this is your first report here on World News Tonight. Welcome to the team. Still ahead here on this Saturday, the scuba diver killed by a shark, the popular tourist destination overseas, now the site of two deadly shark attacks this year. And social distancing while on the move, the record RV sales as coronavirus fears force more Americans to hit the road this summer.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, the record RV rentals. With coronavirus fears forcing many to change their travel plans this summer, more and more Americans are hitting the open road. Here's ABC's David Wright.
There's no question coronavirus is cramping America's style when it comes to summer travel. Faced with the masks and the risks, flight bookings are down nearly 80%.
So we're cooking a little food tonight outside the RV.
But families like the Canadlers of Rochester, New York, have found ways to adapt.
We can come back and just climb in the RV, or you don't have to worry about going to a restaurant or going to a store.
Rediscovering a time-honored American tradition.
With an Airstream at your command, you can head for anywhere in the world.
Setting sail on the open road in what used to be called land yachts. These days, pandemic palaces on wheels. 46 million Americans are expected to climb aboard. For the sites that rent them, like Outdoorsy and RV Share, three times more business than usual.
RV travel enables you to go anywhere, so there's this enormous freedom. Freedom from fear, freedom from contamination.
The highlight of the trip for all of us was just to be away from home after a couple months.
The Canadlers rode in their bubble all the way from Rochester to the South Dakota Badlands.
It's great to be outside and just feel like we can do it in a way that is very safe.
Social distancing on the move. David Wright, ABC News, New York.
All right, David, thank you. Now to the deadly shark attack overseas. Authorities in Australia saying a 20-year-old was killed while scuba diving off the coast of Queensland. Paramedics arriving by helicopter after he suffered bites to both legs, but he later died. The spot, popular with tourists, was the site of another deadly shark attack back in April. Finally tonight, America Strong, the brothers working together to help their neighbors in need, and the online challenge, inspiring others.
That's Sam and Hunter. In 3 months, they have mowed more than 50 lawns in their Detroit neighborhood for free.
We thought this would be a great thing to get involved in, and they were on board to do it.
The 50-yard challenge that began with this man, Rodney Smith.
Back in 2015, I came across this elderly man outside mowing his lawn. It looked like he was struggling. That night, I decided I'll start mowing free lawns for the elderly, disabled, single parents, and veterans.
Rodney, motivated by a simple message, make a difference one lawn at a time. His cause going viral in communities across the country. The goal, to challenge youth to cut 50 lawns for anyone in need at no cost. The only requirement, send a photo holding a sign saying, I accept. When you reach 50, Rodney personally makes the trip to deliver you a free lawnmower, weed eater, and blower. So far, he's traveled to about 25 states, motivating more than 1,000 young people. So this week, when Sam and Hunter finished their challenge, Rodney made the 10-hour drive from Alabama.
It was just amazing to see him.
It's heartwarming just to know that he does these kinds of things, but for us to do it, it's even better.
It's not just about mowing the lawn. It's about actually connecting and being with people, especially through the pandemic right now. And I think we've all grown from it.
We're all hoping that kindness continues to spread. I'm Whit Johnson. Have a great 4th of July. Good night.